Road Time.
Welcome to Rolanda On Demand.
I love my podcast because we not only tackle the tough issues of the day, but we deal with hot topics, celebrity interviews, and information that can help you in your business or relationships.
This is Rolanda On Demand.
You're listening to Rolanda On Demand, and I just thank you so much for listening. If you're a first-time listener, thank you even more. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and be sure to share with your friends, your family, your fans, and all the rest. And be sure to follow me every day on social media at Rolanda Watts. Why are you laughing at me? You know what, Anthony? You don't have to make fun of me. We're coming back to celebrate you in a minute. But before we get there, please follow me on social media at Rolanda Watts, and that is on Twitter and Instagram. But anyway, Anthony, we're going to get to in just a second because he is one of the people we celebrate as we are celebrating our great veterans.
Okay. Yes. Yes. I've been getting a lot of thank yous.
Well, you've been getting a lot of everything, I'm sure, because this has been your birthday week.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back to you, so I want to know what you're getting a lot of.
What did I get a lot of? A lot of food. Drinks. Cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Is that what they call it today?
Cheesecake.
Cheese.
Chocolate chip cheesecake.
Chocolate chip cheesecake.
And it was good. Homemade.
Sure. Homemade.
Homemade.
By the way, I saw a recipe for a chocolate pumpkin pie, which I think is fab. I think we need to do a show on food.
Yeah.
Just food.
We can do that.
But get back to what else you got for your birthday.
That was it. I mean, you know, I had a friend. She was bragging on these ribs.
Should we call her Cheesecake?
We can call her, we can call her CC.
Cheesecake. Chocolate cheesecake. CCC. Chocolate cheesecake. Chocolate cheesecake.
Right. Yeah, triple C. So she brung over her ribs that she was bragging on. They were pretty good. They were real, very good.
That's a woman who likes you.
Yes, and she baked a chocolate chip cheesecake for me. She remembered my favorite dessert and baked it for me.
A chocolate chip cheesecake.
One of the best I've ever tasted, I have to
say. Really?
Yes, I've tasted a lot of chocolate chip
cheesecake. But that's a special lady because she brought over more than dessert. She brought the whole dang meal.
And she was looking good, had her hair done with some tight jeans, some high heels. And I was like, ooh, yes, Lord. Yes.
Wait a minute, hold up. You're making me blush. Now, listen, if you're one of the regular followers of Rolanda On Demand, then you well know my engineer, Mr. Anthony McKenzie here.
Yes.
A Morehouse man that he is.
Yes.
A wonderful, delightful gentleman who I consider my brother, but he is also a veteran.
Yes, I am.
And if you have followed the show, you know I'm always trying to hook up my brother Anthony. Only because I want returns. When you and your girl get together, I want you to look for a guy for me.
All right, I got you.
It'll be my turn. But anyway, we do everything to Anthony on the show.
Basically, we
send him out on blind dates. Hey, speaking of blind dates, check this out, what we're going to do.
Okay.
You know, Essence Magazine has called our show, Rolanda On Demand, one of their favorite podcasts.
Okay, great.
And we have them in, you know, to talk about different things they're talking about in the magazine. And one of the things they're talking about is blind dating. And like I said, I celebrate my engineer, Anthony, here because he's a great guy, Morehouse guy.
Thank you.
You know, man from the Marines. You can't beat a Marine. And in just a bit, Anthony, you know what blew me away is I have an aunt.
Okay.
Who said, you know what, because my dad was an Army man. Okay. You know, most Black families have a lot of military in them.
True.
And a lot of us do. And right now, even Ancestry.com and a lot of the Ancestry research folks are asking us to go and look and see who was in your family heritage who had a military background.
Okay.
And I thought that was kind of cool because I had a great, great grandfather who was big in helping one of our presidents recruit Black soldiers into the military.
Okay.
He was very big, high ranking in that arena. And my aunt just told me that one of my extended relatives, her great, great grandfather, was one of the soldiers in the Civil War.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even think we think about the veterans of the Civil War.
No. The last veterans I may think about are World War II veterans.
Right. My dad was Korea.
Yes. That,
Korean War.
Vietnam. And then also the Gulf War.
Yeah.
Yeah, Civil War just kind of got lost.
I wonder, you're a Marine.
Yes, and I have to give a birthday shout out to the Marines. Marine Corps birthday is November 10th.
So it's the same week, Veterans Day, Marines birthday, and I love Marines. My dad was an Army man, I give it to my dad, but the Marines are really sexy. I'm not sure if it was my attraction to Gomer Pyle.
Was he sexy? Yeah, he was sexy.
He wasn't quite sexy, but he was like...
The uniforms, the dress blues.
Men in uniform.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think what we forget, and the forgotten black soldiers in the white regiment during the Civil War, okay, is what my auntie wants to talk about really right. quickly here. She wrote a book, and I just thought it would be a nice nice contribution. Might blow out our brains a little bit. We're always talking on the show on Rolando on Demand about trying something new, learning new things, being inspired by information you didn't know. And quite honestly, I didn't even know this in my own family. But there were thousands of black soldiers who didn't serve in the United States Colored Troops. There was actually the USCT, the United States Colored Troops. This was back during the Civil War. Instead, they served in the white regiments.
Okay.
Of course, they were mainly cooks, serving the soldiers, but they still served in the United States military. So that is what my aunt wants to talk about, and she's going to talk about these forgotten black soldiers in just a second, but... I got to ask you, Anthony, I have no concept of what that would be like to put on a uniform. Can you imagine me in... No. I'd be like, what did you ask me to do?
More so in like the comedy spectrum of the whole thing. Like Bob Hope, he was... entertaining the troops that way. I can see you doing that.
So what you're saying is everybody has something to give.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know what we're going to talk about also in this hour? We're going to talk about ways that we and our families can help our troops.
Okay.
If I'm not going to put on a military outfit, then not everybody's going to get up on stage and make people laugh like I might do.
Right.
Then there are a lot of other people who can do many other things. And they're very simple things that we can do with our families right here on the home front. To help the men and women at war. Well, I tell you what, let's bring in my aunt. She is from down there in Washington, D.C. Her name is Juanita Moss. Now, she was a high school biology teacher. This woman is in her 80s. But I tell you what, she has a passion, as we talk about a lot on this show, and an extreme interest in genealogy. And that is what led her to research the Black Civil War soldiers and their service while in the white regiments in the Civil War. Who knew? Let's talk to one of our elders about some of this interesting news.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business. Bold Radio, it's Rolanda.
And I was doing a book signing years ago, and some guy says, David, two words changed my life. And I said, and God was speaking to me, because I am rather obtuse at times. I said, be happy. What? Three words. Be happy now.
Be happy now. Be happy now.
There's more Rolanda next. Talk, listen, connect.
Hey guys, don't forget it is the season of love, the perfect time for a good juicy romance novel, like the one I wrote, Destiny Lingers. It's endorsed by Dr. Maya Angelou, and it's a really hot, juicy romance, a good interracial love story about these two kids who couldn't be together during segregation, but the laws that kept them apart could never separate their love. And they got a second chance at love. It's really good. I hope you'll enjoy it. Dr. Maya Angelou endorsed it. It is going to be coming out very soon in audiobook, so read it before you hear it. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or have your favorite store wherever you order it for you. Okay? So now, let's get back to my auntie, who also wrote a book about the forgotten black soldiers of the white regiments of the Civil War. Who knew? Please don't forget to subscribe to the show and follow me at Rolanda Watts on social media. Well, let's get back to the conversation.
C-Suite Radio.
It's Row Time.
Welcome back to Rolanda on Demand.
Our veterans, the people who have sacrificed and given their loyalty and their discipline and so much to this United States of America. Some say it's yet to be united, but we have benefited from the freedoms and so many things that our soldiers over so many wars and over so many decades have been able to accomplish. Many of us forget some of the soldiers that have been forgotten, like back in the Civil War. Many of us don't even know about some of the folks we're about to talk about now with my Aunt Nita. Aunt Nita, and let me tell you, Nita is Nita Moss, Nita Juanita Patience Moss. Now, I call her Aunt Nita. It started out as in New Jersey as a biology teacher, but her passion, as we often talk about on this show, our passions lead us to where we need to go. She has an extreme interest, and I would say a gift, in being able to do the research in genealogy. And she has used all of that passion to do her research in Black Civil War soldiers. Now, not just any Black Civil War soldiers. These were soldiers who actually didn't serve in the Black regiments. I know your jaw is dropping open, right? You're like, what are you talking about? Yeah, these are the things that aren't taught in our U.S. history classes. And I want to introduce you to my aunt, Nita. Juanita Patience Moss. Aunt Nita, welcome.
Okay, well, thank you, Rolanda, for providing me with this opportunity and to pay homage to all the men and women who have served our country in every branch of the military. And, of course, that includes your dad and my husband.
That's right. My daddy was an Army man, I tell you what, in Korea. And, you know, it's so interesting because, Aunt Nita, I was on Facebook today, and one of my friends was like, oh, my dad served in Korea in 1953, and I was like, you know something? Mm-hmm. And I said, Peter, you know what? If the military services had not been segregated at that time, your dad and my dad might have turned out to be war buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dad was also in Korea.
Yes, yes, he was, yes. Okay, and you've also provided me today the opportunity to pay homage to a category of soldiers that you just mentioned, soldiers whose stories have been written out of history. They have been totally forgotten. Now, your listeners may be saying, well, which soldiers are these? And you mentioned them. They are Civil War soldiers. But some of the listeners may say, well, didn't you see glory? Well, yes, indeed, I did see glory. And that was the first time I ever heard anything about Black Civil War regiments. I knew about Black Civil War soldiers because my great-grandfather had been one. So why am I calling these Black soldiers forgotten if I learned about them when seeing glory? Because I'm talking about those who served in mixed-race regiments. Hmm. I call them white regiments in my book, but I've heard other people calling them mixed race. I'm talking about a different category of Black soldier than you would ever hear anyplace else. Now, my great-grandfather is buried in a grave in northeastern Pennsylvania. Every Memorial Day, relatives would go there and put flowers on his grave, and that's how I learned about him. Now, in 1998, I was living here in Alexandria, Virginia, and I read an article in the Washington Post that was talking about a monument that was going to be created in Washington to honor the Black soldiers and sailors who served in the Civil War. I said, oh, isn't that wonderful? And then the article said that a wall was going to be built around it with the names of Black soldiers inscribed on that wall, and that relatives could look in the National Parks database to see if their ancestor's name was there. So, of course, I went right away and looked at the National Parks database, and I put in the name Crowder Patience, and the answer came up, no known soldier. Now, I'm known to scream when things like that happen, so I'm sure when I saw it, I said, no, soldier, what are they talking about? I know where he's buried. I can take you to his grave. I can show you his Union tombstone.
So what you're saying is that the families recognize this lineage, but the United States government didn't recognize.
Well, no. He was just a Union soldier. That was all. When he passed away, he was buried with full military honors in a little town up in West Piston, Pennsylvania, as a Civil War soldier. But nobody was thinking about these soldiers until Glory came out, and then people started thinking about those regiments, and that was based on the 54th Massachusetts.
Because we didn't know about black soldiers in the Civil Rights until Denzel Washington came along and played in Glory back in the day.
He caught our eye, didn't he?
Not caught in the U.S. Listen, I didn't catch that lesson in the U.S. history class,
no,
right?
Nope,
But what I understand what you were saying is that many of these soldiers that did not serve in the totally black regiments, but many of them served in the mixed race or mostly white regiments as cooks or whatever. But the bottom line is they were still in the military. They still served.
Yes, and many
were illiterate. Therefore, journals and diaries and letters are not written to preserve their place in history, so we're depending upon you.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad for the honor, because I have really been working hard on this since 1998, when I asked several historians if they had been able to retrieve the names of the black soldiers who had served in white regiments, and they told me there weren't any. And I screamed again, of course. I said, I knew of one. And as a biology teacher, I did a lot of hypothesizing. So my hypothesis was, if there was one, there had to be more than one. But I didn't know even where to start. Where do you start when nobody knows this fact and you do?
Well, where did you start?
At National Archives. Mm-hmm. Went to the National Archives, and I looked up his record. I found out what regiment he was in. So then I had to search the regiment, and I found 13 other names. Now, when you mentioned cooks, they were laborers, in other words. Whatever the white soldiers didn't want to do, of course, they gave to the black soldiers. But with my great-grandfather as a runaway slave from North Carolina, he was representative of all of the slaves who ran away, the contrabands, the ones who ran away. But where were they going to run away to? They were looking for the Yankees, because the Yankees would give them freedom. What were the Yankees going to do with all these runaways? They gave them jobs. So eventually, a general order was passed, General Orders 323, that said that each Union regiment could have two undercooks of African descent. And they would be treated as soldiers. They would get, when they were discharged, well, they didn't use the word discharged, mustered out, that was a term in those days, they would be treated as soldiers.
But they couldn't hold a gun. They could hold a spoon and a spatula, but not a gun.
We don't know that. Now, these are the guys down in the South. Now, that compared them to the 54th Massachusetts that came out of Boston, who were educated black people. They were different groups of different categories of soldiers here. In fact, I found seven categories of black soldiers, but that's a different story, including to all that today.
But you know what's amazing? What is so amazing is this is the stuff that's not taught in our history classes. This is the stuff that people don't stand up and address the nation and remind people of. This is the stuff you've got to do. The forgotten black soldiers in white regiments during the Civil War. And my auntie here, Juanita Patience Moss, has gathered all of this information, not in just one, but two volumes, and working on number three, having uncovered thousands, 2,000 at this point, going on 3 to 4, maybe even more thousands, of black men who served in the war during the Civil Rights time. That's where we are now. The Civil War times. And her great-grandfather, I'm claiming as an extended family member, Crowder Patience was one. What were you able to learn about Crowder Patience? And this is interesting to me, because right now some of our major genealogy sites are encouraging us to look back and find out who were the military people in our families. I know that, that not only be, through you do I have an extended family who has been very influential in the military, but on another side of my family, I also have somebody who was helping one of our presidents get black soldiers in when they wouldn't even let blacks in the military. So if you think about it, it wasn't until the times of Eisenhower, Roosevelt, that kind of era, when blacks were first getting into the military, and you're talking about the Civil War, when they were there long before. What an interesting uncovery in history.
Yes, well, his group, as I said, they were taken in as cooks, because the white boys, when they signed up to be in the Army, they didn't want to be cooks. But you know that every regiment had to have cooks.
And you know we can cook.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether he could or not. I bet his wife didn't know he was a cook. But anyway, when the Union soldiers started penetrating the South down in North Carolina, where you're from.
That's right.
You're from the West, but this is the East Coast over there in Edenton, Plymouth area.
And that's why we didn't know damn Yankees was two words until we moved out of the South.
Right, so when those Yankees.
Those Yankees.
Came down there, and the grapevine, you know, the black grapevine was saying, if you get to the Yankees, you'll be free.
That's right.
So they said goodbye and tried to find the Yankees. As I said, they were called contrabands of war. They were the same as the cattle or the chickens, anything else, cotton, anything that the South had that was property. Was contraband. So General Butler said, we will call them contrabands, and we will use them. We're not going to send them back to their owners, we will use them. And so that's why many of them became cooks.
Was this a good thing or a bad thing?
In retrospect?
Yeah.
It had to be a good thing.
Yeah.
It has to be a good thing.
When you do this research and you sit back and you have been through life, and you sit back and you look and you say, look at this life we've lived. What is your impression? What is your bottom line takeaway impression?
Well, I thank God for the journey. Let's put it that way. I thank God for the journey that I am alive to see what is here today, even though, like you said, it isn't finished. We're still working very hard. But from whence we came, I thank God for that. Now, my great-grandfather could not read or write, never could read or write, but he was insistent that his eight children would all go to eighth grade, which was quite an accomplishment in Pennsylvania in the 1800s, when many of the immigrant children coming from Europe went in the mines at 7 and 8 and 9 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen that change, of course. I'm the first, one of patients who have a degree. But there are others behind me. But, you know, up in the North, education was as important in our town. It was get a job. That was the most important thing. Whereas I think in the South, it was much more important for black people. Education was much more.
Yeah, because if you had education, you might be able to get one and keep a job.
Yes,
Aunt Nita, I want to thank you so much. And we celebrate Crowder patients on this day, and we celebrate you for digging up that history and bringing it to the world. I thank you so much.
Okay, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Rolanda on Demand. I really, really do appreciate you. I would even appreciate you more if you would subscribe to the show and leave a rating and a review. Let me know what you're thinking. Also, it's the time for love, and there's nothing like a juicy romance to curl up with. And Destiny Lingers is right on time. You can get it at Amazon or any of your
Bold
local
radio
bookstores.
Just Rolanda. Have them order it
they
for
are
you.
Saying this is a
but it's endorsed by Dr. Maya
Angelou. That's facing American
but
children.
But it's endorsed
how
by Dr. Maya Angelou,
all of this
and it's
technology
my
around us,
heart
not as babysitters,
I'm
not an
so
electronic babysitter, but
and
how
I
we
think
interact
you'll enjoy
with
the
our
story.
Kids while they're
so
interacting
it out.
With the media.
And
I mean, gosh,
don't forget to follow me on social media. Everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, at Rolanda Watts.
There's more Rolanda next. Talk,
NDAWATTS at Rolanda Watts. So thank you again. Have a beautiful day. And please go and enjoy the archives. Keep listening to Rolanda on Demand wherever you go. Take me wherever you go. On your walk, on your treadmill. You can even take me to bed. Yep. Rolanda on Demand
anytime, anywhere. Thanks so much again. Now go out there and do something good.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.